Now we come to chapter 3, but we're still in this second song, and I would say it's the second stanza, too, that we come to. And the reason I said that I thought probably this experience that we had of him coming to her, the voice of my beloved, could have been a dream, because as we continue on, we read this, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broadways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." Now, the very interesting thing here is that we actually have come to another section and another scene altogether that we've had before. You remember that it's in two sections, first up in the hill country of Ephraim. And here is a family. They are a family that they're tenant farmers. We used to call them croppers down in Georgia, and they're sharecroppers. And they were the ones that tended this vineyard, and they had sheep. And one day a shepherd appeared, and this Shulamite girl, one of the girls in the family, she had to take care of the sheep and the vineyard. She worked so hard she didn't take care of herself, but she had a natural beauty. And this shepherd fell in love with her, and she fell in love with him. And then he said he's going away, but coming back, and he didn't come back for a long time. One day it is announced King Solomon was coming along, and she paid no attention, because who was King Solomon? As far as she is concerned, she didn't know him. But then somebody came to her and said King Solomon wanted to see her. And when she was brought into his presence, it was her shepherd. It was the one that had said he would come, and he now has come. Now he takes her away to his palace in Jerusalem, and the scene is there. And this scene is there. And now King Solomon is busy. He's king. He's out, probably on king's business in the land. And as he visits around, why, she's left alone there. And finally, why, knowing he was out, why, she got up and went out looking for him. It's quite interesting today, the church, I'm of the opinion, for the most part, and I don't mean just the organized church, I mean believers as a whole, are largely reclining today and doing nothing, practically nothing, to getting the Word of God out. And my friend, he's out today sowing the seed of the Word of God. He's out today trying to get the Word out and wake up a sleepy church. And so this one, she gets up and starts looking for him. And the message that I see here is a great message. If you're going to have fellowship with Christ, it's wonderful to sit with Mary at Jesus' feet. But if you're going to stay around those feet, you're going to find they're going to do a lot of walking. And you'll find that you may be busy in the kitchen with Martha, with the pots and the pans. Or you may find yourself busy out yonder on the hillside looking for a sheep. And I heard recently of a church that just in a very dogmatic and cold way put a member out because a rumor was circulating that he had been dishonest. Well, I think they certainly should have investigated. And I made the inquiry. I said, did somebody go and try to get the lost sheep and bring him back? They said, of course not. He's dishonest. Well, my friend, that's the sheep we need to get back in the fold. I'm afraid that the attitude today in many of our fundamental churches, we're in bed. We're not going to get our feet dirty, and we're going to find out that was the condition of this bride just a little later on. She came to the place. Imagine this girl raised out yonder in the country, kept sheep, took care of a vineyard. Now she's going to loll in bed all morning. May I say to you, I'm afraid the church is in that position today. My friend, let's get out of bed and let's get to work today. Let's get the word out. And if you're going to have fellowship with him, you can't spend all the time sitting at his feet. There is a time when somebody's going to have to fix a meal back there with Martha in the kitchen. And therefore, I think this is a tremendous thing. Now she went out through the city looking for him. She's lost contact, you see, because of this attitude. And now we read the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And now she's out giving a witness. And that's what she should be doing. It was but a little that I passed from him, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I'd brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. In other words, she went right back to the place where she had been born. And many of us need to get back to that first love. You remember when we first were converted and first came to Christ and how much he meant to us. Now she says, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And in other words, she now has come to a place where she's witness, and now there is restored that wonderful fellowship with him. Will you notice we come now actually to the third canticle. This is the third song, and it begins at verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? And this is a picture, of course, of Solomon as he rode in state throughout his kingdom. And the glory that was Solomon was really something. We're going to get a little description of it here in just a moment. And what we have here is a picture, I think, ought to be of the church today as we are to go through this world as witnesses. And as witnesses, we are also a new man in Christ. We're also an engaged person on the way to meet a bridegroom. And we also are good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and we should move like this through the world. There should be that perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. How wonderful the Lord Jesus is. The myrrh speaks of his death. The frankincense speaks of his life. And both were sweet indeed. Both were glorious. We're going to call attention to that. Again, I think probably next time. It says, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Now, this is the couch that he sat upon at mealtime, at that round table where those were gathered around him that were his intimates, where the bride sat with him or reclined with him. But notice, they are living in days of danger. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. Why are they there? They're there for protection. They're the palace guard. They are the secret service that have charge of his person to watch over him. And may I say to you today, I think that the time has come for us to say that we believe today in the deity of Jesus Christ, that he was God manifest in the flesh, and that we reject the teaching of Jesus Christ Superstar. We reject the teaching of liberalism. We reject any things that make him just a human Jesus. He's God manifest in the flesh. That's the picture that we have of him. And they all hold swords, and the sword is the word of God, remember, being expert in war. And we ought to know how to use the word of God. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. We need the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And that's what good soldiers of Jesus Christ have. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Now look at this. Out of the cedars of Lebanon, he made the pillars thereof silver, the bottom thereof of gold. Imagine the floor made of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. What beauty there was, but also what tremendous emotion and love that you have displayed here. Therefore, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Now it says his mother crowned him. Well, you want to read the story? David didn't want to crown him. Fact of the matter is, there was another son of David that was carrying on a better strategy to try to get to the throne himself. He wanted to run for king and become king. And David wasn't doing anything about it. And the reason, his favorite son, Absalom, had been killed. And he didn't seem to have too much heart for Solomon. And so Nathan came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, said, "We better get busy because this other boy may become king." And so she went with Nathan to King David. And then King David said, "Well, bring him in. We'll make him king." And that's when this boy, Solomon, was made king. And I like the way that it's stated here. His mother crowned him. It was his mother that was interested in him, and it was his mother. And not actually David, though he is David's son here. Now, it says, "Behold, King Solomon." Well, this is a picture of Christ. Behold him. Behold him in his birth. Behold him in his life. Behold him in his death. Behold him in his resurrection. Behold him in his glory, and behold him as the one who's coming. My friend, the solution to the problems of life are found in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't like the expression, "Jesus is the answer," or "Christ is the answer." I want to know what the question is. And you tell me what the question is, and then the Lord Jesus will furnish you the answer.